ladies, take your Bible to the second book of Kings. Second Kings chapter number 2 this morning. Second Kings 2 and verses 9 through 11 will be our text. Great stories of the Old Testament. We've preached through 11 of them this summer, not today, number 12, and the last one in this series of messages. 2 Kings chapter 2. I'm glad Elijah made the list somewhere. He's one of my favorite Old Testament characters. And we're going to finish up this morning, number 12, about his trip to heaven. So let's stand together, please. 2 Kings chapter 2, verses 9, 10, and 11. Now, if you're new to the Bible, you find the book of Psalms and go back to your left. You're going to come to 2 Kings chapter 2. We'll read responsibly. That means please join me on verse 10, and I'll read verses 9 and 11, where our book says, "And it came to pass, when they were gone over, that Elijah said unto Elisha, Ask what I shall do for thee, before I be taken away from thee. And Elisha said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. And he said, Thou hast asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if thou see me when I am taken from thee, it shall be so unto thee. But if not, it shall not be so. And it came to pass, as they still went on and talked, that behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire, and parted them both asunder, and Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven." And let's pray together. And our Father, we bow before you with a grateful heart today. Thank you for your book. I pray that you'll speak to us from it this morning. May we bring a receptive heart, Lord, an open mind to Bible truth, a willingness to yield our lives to your will for us. And I pray that you'll use the song now to prepare us for the message to follow. May God, you get honor and glory to yourself now, in Jesus' name, and amen. Thank you. Be seated. I probably have heard that, but I don't remember hearing that song before. That's a beautiful song. That's great. Let me speak to you about Elisha going to heaven by way of whirlwind this morning. Let's pray together. And now, dear Father, we commit the keeping of these next several minutes into your care. Only you can take your word and use it as a double-edged sword, piercing, even dividing asunder of soul and spirit, piercing our heart with it. Lord, maybe somebody came today with a calloused, old, cold heart, disinterested and unconcerned, apathetic about eternal matters. But I know that the Spirit of God, through the Word of God, can quicken a heart. Lord, there might be somebody here uncertain about their future, about their eternal destiny. And I pray for that person this morning. And I pray for those who are saved here. I pray, God, our hearts will be brought together as we look at this passage of Scripture jointly. May we squeeze something out of it that will help us in Jesus' name. And amen. Elijah the Tishbite. That's all we know about him when we meet him. His entrance into the biblical record is abrupt, bold, and dramatic, and basically stayed that way throughout his ministry, the years he lived upon this earth. He bursts on the scene with a pronouncement of judgment against Ahab and Israel because of sin, both Ahab's personal sin and Israel's national sin. He pulls no punches. He speaks out sternly and forcefully against evil. He stood courageously and fearlessly against false prophets. He's also a man of compassion as well. He was a help and a comfort to a widow lady and her son, and even taking the time to raise that boy from the dead and bring him back to life. Of course, the power of God working through him. Like most people with an explosive personality, Elijah was also given to emotional swings the other direction. That usually happens if you got people that live up here. They have the potential to get down here. The best way to live is try to seek that happy medium and be moderate as you go through life. But he ran from Jezebel. He asked God to take his life. He ran in discouragement from Jezebel, that wicked queen. The Bible says he was a man given or subject to like passions, just as we are. He was a man of prayer. He was a righteous man. The Bible says the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And Elijah's prayers availed much. He asked God to stop the rain. No rain nor dew for 3 years. 3.5 years. And God kept it away. And then he prayed and prayed again. And God sent rain. Now in this chapter, we come to his graduation from earth to heaven. Graduation from earth to heaven. He is accompanied by his successor, Elisha. They begin the day in Gilgal. They end up at the Jordan River, and Elisha ends his day at the Jordan River, Jericho, and then Elijah ends his day in heaven. There's a whirlwind, and a fiery chariot sweeps down from the sky, and Elijah is transferred to glory in full view of Elisha and others. Elijah didn't die. He left this world without dying. In doing so, he becomes a picture of God's people who will be alive when Jesus comes. And when he calls, "Come up hither," we'll be transported from earth to heaven in the twinkling of an eye. Elijah is a picture of those of, I believe I'll be living it today when Jesus comes. Paul believed he would be living it today when Jesus comes. I don't know how you can look around at world events and not believe that the coming of Jesus is imminent at any moment. So Elisha departed. This was his departure. And that's what I want to talk about this morning. You see, Paul called his death a departure, saying in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 6, "For I am now ready to be offered," listen to what he said, "and the time of my," didn't say death, he said departure, "is at hand." Paul said, "I'm leaving, but I'm going somewhere. I'm leaving, but I'm going somewhere." Christian friend, one of the greatest benefits of salvation is that our last enemy, death, has been conquered by the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Been conquered. I'm not saying most of God's people, I believe, are not going to leave the way Elijah left. Now, there'll be hundreds of thousands, I don't know, maybe millions of people caught up in the rapture. But what's that compared to the last 4,000 years of history? God's people have been dying and leaving this world. Most of God's people won't leave like Elijah. Most will leave by way of walking through that valley, the valley of the shadow of death. But if you're saved, if you're born again, that valley is only a shadow. And shadows cannot hurt you. There's a big difference. If you're standing watching the sunset to the west, that's that direction. If you're watching the sunset this way, and you're on the east side of a set of railroad tracks, and the sun is setting, and here comes a train barreling down the track, however fast they go. I mean, just flying by. And when it goes by, the ground shakes, the earth rumbles, and the shadow of that train passes over you. You're in the dark for a little while. That's a whole lot different than getting hit by the train. I'd rather the shadow pass over me than the actual train hit me. And for every born-again child of God, death will not hit you. You'll walk down through the valley of the shadow of death. But a shadow never has hurt anybody. Things may get a little bit dim for a while, but brother, there's light at the end of that tunnel. No doubt about it. I'm not saying that there won't be any pain or suffering. Won't say that. But death has no grip on your soul. And for the one going into death, it is simply a departure. It's hard on the ones left behind. We're the ones that are left to weep. And weeping is normal. Weeping is natural. When a loved one, a friend, an acquaintance passes from this life into the next, tears are normal. It's hard on the ones left behind. It's tough on those people who are left here with an empty chair or empty spot at the table because death is a departure. Look at verse number 11. This is what it is here. The Bible says that this chariot of fire and the horses of fire, watch this, and parted them both asunder. That's what death is. Death parts loved ones. Death separates friends. Okay? Death takes one away and leaves others behind. It's tough on those left behind. But for the one who is departing, it is glorious. Because of salvation. Our loved ones, when they leave, when they depart, when they walk through the valley of the shadow of death, it's not a horrible experience for them. It's a glorious experience. And we need to always keep that in mind. Now, that doesn't mean when your loved one dies, you run around and shout. People would question your sanity. You'll probably cry. That's what you're supposed to do. It's natural, normal. God made us that way. Jesus wept at the grave of His friend Lazarus. I've heard many people say that He wept because the Jews were so hard-hearted. I don't know. I mean, I just happen to believe that Lazarus was kind of a special friend to Jesus. He stopped by the house several times, got pretty acquainted with Mary and Martha, and now Lazarus is gone. Jesus wept, John 11:35. Now, I'm not against weeping when a loved one has departed. I've done it myself. But we've got to keep in mind, friend, that what's going on for our loved one is something glorious and magnificent. They have departed from earth to glory. And I wonder in this story if God didn't pull back the curtain a little bit and just give us a glimpse of what the child of God experiences at their departure. You see, we're on this side, and here's the curtain, and a loved one departs. The curtain separates us from our loved ones. We can't see beyond that curtain. All we can see is that they're gone. Are you listening this morning? Not easy to talk about death, is it? Nobody likes to just talk about it. But it's a reality. It's part of this life. You can't see past that curtain. All you can see is that loved one is not there. What's happening on the other side of that curtain? And I wonder if God didn't give us a little glimpse of what departure is like for a child of God. Maybe it'll help those of us who are left on this side with an empty spot on this side of the curtain. I'm going to talk about it this morning. Number one, look at the time of the departure. The time of the departure. You're not sad, are you, this morning, huh? Don't get gloomy on me, folks. We're not at the funeral home. It's not a mortuary. Hey, you got a good book here that has all kind of truth and Bible principles. This book will help prepare you to say goodbye to loved ones. help you prepare to say goodbye to loved ones. The time of his departure, look at verse number 1. And it came to pass when the Lord would take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind. When the who? When the Lord. You see, Elijah's departure was on God's time. Elijah's departure was on. God determined the when. God determined the exact time. Elijah had asked God previously, Lord, take me. Just take me to heaven. I want to go right now. God wasn't ready. It wasn't God's time. And let me say to us this morning, each one of us, God has a time for each person to make their departure from earth. Hebrews 9:27, the writer said, and as it is appointed unto men once to die. Did you hear that? We have a lot of appointments that must be kept in this life. We have doctor's appointments and dentist appointments and job interviews and appointments with attorneys and accountants and tax people, even appointments to meet friends at the restaurant for dinner. Oh, all kinds of appointments, but everyone has an appointment. You haven't set the time. God has determined that time. I haven't set the time. God has determined that time. It is the time of our departure. It's set by God Himself. Set by God. I remember Jerry Ross, those of you that were here during Pilots Convention back in March this year, he preached on the opening night and used a little illustration that I will borrow and use this morning. I believe, like he said, that every person who's born into this world has a life clock. For little Savannah Grace Cash, her life clock began September 1st, the moment she was birthed into this world. And each and every person who's born into this world is going to have so many years, so many months, so many weeks, so many days, so many hours, so many minutes, and if we could carry it further, so many seconds to live. And one of these days, folks, every one of these categories is going to hit zero. Sometime in the future, if Jesus stays in heaven, there will be no more years left for me and you. Are you listening? And then future, there'll be no more months. This person started out with 71 years, 9 months. The day will come when the month digit will hit zero. This person started out with 71 years, 9 months, 3 weeks. There'll come a time when that will hit zero. For every one of us, there will come a time when the days digit will hit zero. It'll be zero. There'll come a time when the hours, you and I will have hours left. And there'll come a time when it won't be hours, it'll be minutes. And then this will be zero, and whatever seconds God has determined, when all of these digits hit zero, and the seconds digit hits zero, when all these things are at zero, there ain't nothing you or I are going to do to keep us around. We're out of here. That's true about every person in this room. By the way, none are exactly the same. None are exactly the same. You say, well, I know, man, somebody that has cancer and somebody this and that, I'm sure that their clock is a lot less time left on it than mine. You don't have any idea. I have no idea. There may be hours left on my life clock right now. Anybody got a guarantee on what numbers these are up here? You say, you're trying to make it all pessimistic. No, I'm trying to be real with you this morning, folks. There's a life clock. And it's counting down to zero. The life of every person in this room, the life of every person on the globe is counting down to zero. Sometimes God lets people know in advance that the time is almost gone, almost down to zero. He did in this case. Elijah knew he was going. Elisha knew he was going. Other people knew he was going. In verse number 2, in verse number 5, in verse number 7, you've got 50 people standing there ready to watch this. Somehow, some way, God let them know. Paul knew. He said, the time of my departure is at hand. Others have known. Some do not know. They are taken by accident or some freak calamity of nature. The clock hits zero and they're gone. But it's never an accident to God. It's never a surprise to God. He knows how much time is left on the life clock of every person in this room. The time of the departure. God determines that time. No man. God does. Let me show you number two this morning. The speed of the departure. The speed of it. Look in verse number 11 here. The Bible says, it came to pass as they still went on and talked, that behold, there appeared a chariot of fire, horses of fire, and parted them both asunder. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. Did you see that? A tornado came and snatched him right up. Gone. You see, death may come slow or abrupt, but when the last breath is taken, there's nothing short about the trip to your eternal destination. Are you listening? You don't go float around in space somewhere. There is no such place as purgatory. There's no such thing as soul sleep. When you breathe your last breath, the speed of your departure is unbelievably quick. The Bible's in the book of 2 Corinthians, Paul said to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Absent, present. Absent, present. Absent, present. Not absence and then linger for a while and then finally come into His presence some years later. No, no, no. 10,000 times no. Absent, boom, present. You see, we're on this side of the curtain and the tears are flowing down our cheeks because the spot is empty. But on the other side of that curtain, they're already in the presence of God. Boom, that quick. Weep for ourselves, but don't weep for them if they're saved. It's that quick, folks. It's that quick. Luke chapter 16, the rich man died and the Bible says he was carried by angels into Abraham's bosom. Instantaneously, boom! The Bible says the rich man died also, and in hell he lift up his eyes. What are you saying, Brother Angel? I'm saying it's a quick trip to either heaven or hell when you leave this world. Are you listening this morning? It's a quick trip to either heaven or hell when you leave this world. There's no long process. And by the way, there will not be any time or opportunity to change destinations after the journey begins. Oh, no, 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 Lord, I don't want to go that direction. No, it's too late then. Destination must be determined on this side of that curtain. Are you listening this morning? You can't change that destination. Those who die unsaved without Christ will not be able to put the brakes on that trip. You won't be able to put the brakes on that short and fast trip to hell. Everyone must get their destination settled ahead of time. Get it settled now, because once the trip to eternity begins, it happens quick. Are you settled this morning? On this side of the curtain, right now, you have life on this earth. You have a mind, you have a heart, you have a will. You can make a choice to receive Jesus Christ and the gift of God, which is eternal life. Or you could try to get to heaven your own way. Go through Muhammad or the sacraments of the church or the waters of a baptismal pool or the membership of some church role. But friend, unless you come through Jesus, there will be no heaven. Get it settled. Get it settled on this side of your last breath. You see the time of the departure. You see the speed of the departure. Let me say number three this morning. I want you to see the company at the departure. The company at the departure. I want you to see this. I believe there was both seen and unseen company at Elijah's departure. I know there was seen. I know there were people on earth who watched his departure. I know that. Look at verse number 7 in your Bible. The Bible says, and 50 men of the sons of the prophets went and stood to view afar off. And they too, Elijah and Elisha, stood by Jordan. Here's 50 men. They got to Bethel, and the people came to them and said, hey, Elisha, do you know that today's the day that your master's going to heaven? He says, yeah, I know it.
He got to Jericho. Hey, Elisha, do you know that today's the day your master's going to heaven? Yeah, I know it. They get down from Jordan, Jericho into Jordan. 50 men, they're watching. They're going to witness, watch this. They're going to witness Elijah's departure. They're going to witness it. But I believe there was unseen people there as well. People that could not be seen, because chapter number 2 and verse number 11 talks about the chariot of fire and the horses of fire. Last time I looked, chariots and horses needed drivers and riders. I know I may be speculating a little bit. It doesn't say in here that there were drivers in that chariot. It doesn't say here that there were riders on these horses. But brother, it wouldn't be surprising. I mean, you read the book of Revelation, there's riders on those horses. I believe with all of my heart that there were people unseen to the eyes of Elisha, unseen to the eyes of those 50 sons of the prophets that were watching afar off. I believe there was people unseen to them when Elijah made that departing. And I believe, friend, when your loved one or when you personally come to that time of departure, there could be people who are witnessing your departure right here on earth, watching it. But I believe with all my heart there's unseen people. That the natural man cannot, the natural man with his natural eyes cannot see. And they watch the departure. Dr. John R. Rice was 6 years of age when his mother departed. In those days they sent people home to die. She was in the little bed there in the family room of their simple little house down in Texas. And the family had gathered around because the time of her departure was imminent. And the story from Dr. Rice says they were outside playing in the yard. Dr. Rice and his cousins, his brother, sister. Outside playing. And Mrs. Rice said, gather the children in. The lady that was on the bed dying. Gather the children in. They gathered all the children, all the other adults that were at the house that day for this occasion, put them all in that room, and Mrs. John R. Rice's mother laying there and said, let's sing a song. And there was an old pump organ in the room. One of the adults there said, Mom, what do you want to sing? And she said, let's sing How Firm a Foundation, Ye Saints of the Lord. Somebody began to play on that old pump organ. How firm a foundation, ye saints of the Lord. And the people gathered in that room that morning. Her family and John R. Rice's mom, Mrs. Rice, laid there and in a little old faint whisper sang, how firm a foundation, ye saints of the Lord, is laid for your faith in His excellent word. What more can He say than to you? He hath said to you for refuge, for Jesus have fled. And she sang that and she lapsed off into unconsciousness. And the people came by and kissed her on the cheek. And they stood around the room and they waited. And then just a little while later, she raised her little hands above her head like this and she clapped them together. Her eyes came wide open. She said, I see Jesus and I see my baby. Gone. Physical people, her family watching that departure. But there are other people there sometimes you and I can't see. I see Jesus and I see my baby. They buried a baby before. So, I remember Dr. Bill Pendle years ago out at Merritt Avenue. My goodness, years ago now. He was preaching in one of the conferences out there. He told a story when he pastored in Bristol, Tennessee. Pastored those mountain people way up in the mountains of Bristol, Tennessee. And old Dolphus and his wife. He said, the best way I can describe Dolphus is Bozo the Clown. Said he had no hair on top of his head. Had hair that came out like this. And had a bulbous nose. He said, just like Bozo the Clown. Had big old furry eyebrows. And he wasn't a man given to much emotion in church. He'd sit with his arms crossed like this and frown a little bit. And those old brows would come together. He looked like he was mad all the time. He said, I was at home one night in the midst of a horrendous downpour, thunder, lightning, rain, and there came a knock on my door. It was one of our church members. Said, Brother Pennell, said, have you heard that Dolphus is on his deathbed up at the house? They've been trying to call you, but the phone lines are down because of the storm. But he's not going to be around much longer, and he's been calling for you. Bill Pennell said he got dressed and got in his car, drove as far up the mountains as his car could drive, and got out and walked the rest of the way up that old path. We don't know what that's like around here, but that's still in existence in some places. Brother Hanson, down there where your son's father-in-law pastors. There are places where they can't take the car down here in the Ozarks in Arkansas. Place. They walk out. Bill Pennell said he made his way through that driving rainstorm up a little path, over a little a little wood bridge over a little creek swollen with water. Finally got to the house, and man, it was lightning and flashing and thundering and knocking on the door. And Dolphus's wife opened the door and said, "Oh, Pastor, the Dolphus has been calling for you all day." And there was Dolphus laid out on the pallet on the floor. Not much time left. The digits on his clock were reaching zero. Why? Years was at a zero. Months was at a zero. Weeks was at a zero. Days was at a zero. Hours was at a zero. There was only minutes and seconds left. Said he walked over and talked with Dolphus for a little while and had prayer with him there. And then Dolphus lapsed off into unconsciousness. Went into a coma. Then he all of a sudden opened his eyes and called for his wife. She went down, knelt down beside her husband of all those years, laying out on his pallet down there, and just as calmly and peacefully as he could be, he said, "Now, honey, Jesus is standing right over there." He said, "He's been standing there for a little while. He's been calling for me. And in a little bit, He's going to come. I just want to tell you, you've been a wonderful wife. Been a faithful mother." He said, "You take care of yourself. You keep going on down to that church there. God sent us a good preacher. You go down there as often as you can. Be as faithful as you can. God will bless you, honey." Expressed his love. Lapsed back off into consciousness. Huh? You say, "You believe that? What are you talking about? Why do you?" Of course I believe that. You better know I believe that. I believe that. See, your problem is you think this is the only thing that's real. It's not the only thing that's real, folks. There's a world you can't see, I can't see. It's as real as what we're in right now. It's more real. Are you with me this morning? It's real. Why in the world would one of God's people ever scratch their head? "Well, I wonder if that's real." It's more real than where you and I are this morning. I'll tell you that much. Sure it is. Oh, yeah, the company at the... I'll tell you what. That's a lot different than the way some people leave this world. You don't want to leave this world unsaved. I remember a lady, they don't go to church here any longer. They used to go to church here and they moved away. She got saved here and her family was lost. Her husband tried to be a witness to some of the family and thought that her dad had made a profession of faith. Her dad passed. She came to me some weeks after and said, "Pastor," said, "strangest thing happened down there." Said, "My dad got down to the very end in the hospital bed down here at St. Mary's. He gripped a hold of the rails and he started shaking like this and his face turned all red and the sweat poured off and he gurgled it. She said, what do you think?" I tell you something, I didn't have the heart to tell her. God's people don't leave that way. No, they don't. Now, you may not see Jesus standing over there like Dolphus did. You may not see Jesus and a baby that's gone to heaven or a child or a mother or a grandparent or a sister or a brother like John R. Rice's mother did. But I'm going to tell you something, friend. I believe with all my heart that there'll be company at our departure. We won't make that journey alone. No, sir. No, sir. Isn't lonesomeness one of the most horrible things in all the world? When I have to part through that curtain, brother, there'll be company. There may be company on this side, but there'll be company on this side, company that you and I can't see. I got to finish this morning. You see, the time of the departure, God knew the time. God set the time. You see, the speed of the departure, it was a whirlwind. Pew! You see, the company at the departure. I want you to see the peace at the departure. The peace. Look at verse number 9. Elijah said, you got your Bible open this morning, huh? Everybody's okay, right? Amen? Elijah said unto Elisha, "Ask what I shall do for thee before I be taken away from thee." Does that sound like a man who's fallen apart? "Elisha, what can I do for you?" Excuse me. Wait. Maybe I'm supposed to be asking you what I can do for you. You're the one leaving. I'm staying behind. What can I do for you? Look at verse number 10. Elisha, you remember Elisha said? He said, well, I'd like a double portion of your spirit, Elijah. And Elijah said, thou hast asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if thou see me when I am taken from thee, what's that? When I die, when I depart. If you see me when I be taken from thee, it shall be so unto thee, but if not, it shall not be so. Does that sound to you like a troubled man? Folks, does that sound to you like somebody who's all shook up? That sound like somebody to you who's falling apart? Listen, the body may suffer, the pain may be intense, but there can be peace in the soul when you know where you're going. Peace. It's no secret Brother Terry Davis has cancer. Tumors all over his body. He sits here this morning. Doctors can't figure out why he's calm. Goes to the doctor, calm, sometimes standing around, makes jokes about it. Now, he's not being silly and facetious. But there's a peace there that's real. He knows where he's going. And that's what I'm talking about. You know, Valerie's on this side of that curtain. And that spot is empty. Will be. Unless God does a miracle. I need to pray for him every day. But on this side of that curtain, Brother Terry, you're going to be in his presence. Whew. And that's why he's got peace. And he can talk about death. And some of you folks can't, you don't know what to say to him because you don't want him death, dying. But he can talk about it. Because he's ready. He's ready. There's peace. Remember Dolphus? After he kissed his wife goodbye, lapsed back into unconsciousness. Well, Dr. Pendle said he went over to the water bucket, took a ladle, dipped the ladle down in the water bucket, was drinking out of the ladle. It's amazing what didn't kill you back in those days. Now you got to have a bottle. $1.29 worth. He drank out of the ladle. Said he was taking a drink out of that ladle. All of a sudden, old Dolphus just kind of tilted his head up. Said, glory! 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 Wife said, Brother Penn, what do you think he saw? Brother Penn said, I think he saw glory. I think that's what he saw. Well, I looked over Jordan. What did I see? Coming for to carry me. A band of angels are coming after me. Coming for to carry me home. Swing low, sweet chariot. Coming for to carry me home. Swing low, sweet chariot. Coming for to carry me. I'm glad I'm saved. Glad my wife is saved. Someday, when that curtain parts us, whoever's left on this side, the other one, that old chariot, pulling by for a quick stop. what Jesus did for us when He conquered death. Christian, don't fear it. Don't fret. It's a shadow passing over you. Put you in the dark for a little while. But it won't harm you. In fact, the curtain parts. There's something glorious. When I started the preparation for this message, I wasn't going to go this direction, but I love the Davises. I don't live with what they're living with right now. And I hope something I said this morning will be a help to them. I love you folks dearly. Hope it will be a help to you when the time of departure comes. Most of all, I hope you're ready. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Who'd say this morning, Brother Angel, I know that I'm saved. I'm on my way to heaven. When I depart from this world, the chariot will stop by me. You're not ashamed of that. You're glad to be saved. Would you give a testimony of it by raising your hand this morning? I'm saved and I know it. Saved and I know it. Thank you. Take your hands down. Is there any person here this morning who would say, Brother Angel, I'm not sure that I'm saved. I'm not sure. I don't want to come to that curtain, that departure, and not be saved. Not know for sure that I'm on my way to heaven. I'm not sure that I'm going to heaven when I die. Pray for me. Would you lift your hand this morning from front to back, side to side, member or visitor? You're not sure that you're saved. God bless you. Is there another one? I appreciate your honesty. I'm not sure that I'm saved. Would you pray for me? Anybody like that in the room this morning? Would you raise your hand? Let me pray for you. Member, visitor, boy or girl, adult, man or woman, teenager in between. Doesn't matter. I'm not sure that I'm saved. Angel, pray for me. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, nobody's looking. I want this young man to my left over here. Look up at me just for a minute, son. You don't know for sure that you're saved. That's the most important thing you'll ever know in this life. Brother Nichols over here hasn't got a Bible. Why don't you come and let him show you how you can be saved this morning? That's right. God bless you. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. We'll pray for this young man. Wonder who else might be here. Say, Pastor Angel, I'm not sure that I'm saved. I'm not sure where I'm going when I die. Pray for me. Would you lift your hand this morning? Anybody like that? Are you ready, folks? That life clock is clicking down every day we live. Say, well, I think I'm ready. I prayed a prayer one time. There needs to be more evidence than that. Well, I'm going to get it settled one of these days. How much time is on your life clock? If you need to be saved, Brother Caleb will be standing right here in the middle here at the front in just a moment. Come with the invitation time. Say, Brother Caleb, I don't know that I'm saved. Who's here this morning would say, I've been saved but not baptized in deep water since I've been saved. Maybe you came to be baptized this morning. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Would you come right now so we can prepare you for baptism with our heads bowed and eyes closed? You come and Brother Scott and Linda will help you get ready for baptism this morning. That's right. Anybody else? Anybody who would say, Pastor, I've been saved but not baptized. I need to be baptized. Would you come this morning? Anybody else? We have one more coming over here, Brother Caleb. There we go, right back there. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Who'd say this morning, Pastor Angel, I'm saved. On my way to heaven. Something you said this morning, the Spirit of God used to touch my heart, to encourage me. The Spirit of God spoke directly to me at some point throughout this message this morning. Would you lift a hand, please, all over this room? Would you do it? God bless you. I appreciate that. Take your hands down. If you've been visiting here, you know this is the place God wants you to join, be a member. You've been saved and baptized in a sister church of like faith. Practice, you may come at the invitation time. Our Father, thank you for your book. Thank you for all the lessons and stories contained in this book. Thank you for this story about Elijah's departure. Lord, I pray that we'll all take something home with us that'll help us and bless our hearts and touch us today. Lord, I thank you for salvation. Thank you for conquering that last enemy that we may have to face someday. The battle's already won. We'll walk through the valley of the shadow of death. I love you, dear Father. I pray that this message would be a help to your people.
in this room this morning. I ask it in Jesus' name. Let's stand, please. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. The ladies are playing a song of invitation. Do you need to come this morning? You raised your hand. Is there a particular message the Lord spoke to your heart today? Maybe you don't know that you're saved. Maybe you're not sure of your eternal destiny. Would you come this morning? Let somebody take a Bible. Tell Brother Caleb, I don't know that I'm saved. Pray for me. Would you come this morning? Maybe you got a friend or a loved one you're concerned about. You want that departure to be light for them. That chariot's going to swing low someday. Could be before long. I trust you'll be ready.